The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share an extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Now, earlier in the week, President Michael D. Higgins said that Ireland should debate whether housing is a basic human right. Minister of State at the Department of Housing, Damien English, has since dismissed a referendum on that topic and said there was no need to make it a constitutional matter. Well, I'm joined by People Before Profit TD for Dundee, Richard Boyd Barrett, and by Carl Dieter of Irish Mortgage Brokers to debate the issue. Good morning and welcome.
Morning.
Now, Richard, what would be the idea of a constitutional right to housing, and what would it say, such a declaration in the Constitution?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, Pat, because today, as you know, is the anniversary of the first Dáil. So it might be just worth quoting what the first democratic programme of the Dáil said on this matter, something we still haven't achieved, but to my mind would provide the wording. And it says, we affirm that all right to private property must be subordinated to the public right and welfare. And it goes on to say, it shall be the first duty of the government of the Republic to make provision for the physical, mental and spiritual well-being of the children, to secure that no child shall suffer hunger or cold from lack of food or shelter. Now, that's not a bad start, and
yeah.
it is noteworthy that that is what the founding fathers and mothers of this state
but actually,
wanted,
by
and
that
we still
definition,
don't have it.
By that definition, in terms of food and shelter, we're doing that. Now, it may be HAP, maybe a hub, it may be private rental accommodation, it may, more irregularly now than ever before, more infrequently, it may be social housing. But there's no one in this state who needs not to have a roof over their head and be nourished, given the state of social protection that we've established. It's not ideal, but there's no one starving.
No, but they don't have shelter. It says that...
No, but they do. If you are without a roof over your head, the state, either through HAP or a hub, will provide you with shelter.
No, Pat, in the debate on our anti-evictions bill during the week, I quoted just one example, but it's one of many, of someone, a mother of four... who's I'm dealing with at the moment, who is now overholding on her private rental property, and she's under pressure to leave. She's exhausted all PRTB appeals. There is no hub space for her. She's been told to self-accommodate, i.e. try and find a B&B. There's none available. She's been told she's approved for HAPs, but there's no HAPs available in Dunleary. She's looking every morning. So she is actually facing homelessness. She has nowhere to go. And there's lots of people like that. Our hub, emergency hub accommodation, which, by the way, is very unsuitable for long term, and many people are in it for a year or two, but now it is full. We can't even get spaces in the hubs. That's how bad the situation has got.
Okay, but how would a constitutional insertion make any difference to that? Because if you don't have a roof to supply over someone's head, you don't have a roof. I mean, you can't magic up a house overnight.
Well,
for this unfortunate woman who's got a family to feed and support, if it's not there, it's not there.
You can't, because, you see, right across from my office in Dunleary, I know for a fact, at the moment, in the hands of an American vulture fund who bought a block of apartments from NAMA, who shouldn't have sold them, in my opinion, when there was people on the housing lists, but they did. But right in that block, there are seven or eight empty apartments, perfectly good empty apartments. And in fact, that vulture fund...
And would the constitutional insertion then allow, in your view, the state to come along and say, hey, move over, vulture fund, we're taking those
apartments.
We'll pay you.
We're not giving you a choice. If you haven't got a good reason for them sitting empty, we're putting families into them and we will pay you the rent.
Yeah, well, the same set of rights would obviously then give... you know, whatever the new financial jackboots are, the opportunity to go into your granny's house when she goes into a nursing home and take that too.
No,
I think that I think that when you talk about constitution,
what's the difference between granny who's not using her house and the vulture fund who's not using her house? I mean, is this idealistic rather than, like, this is you being People Before Profit, classic TD, rather than actually taking the logic is empty house is empty house. Doesn't matter whether it's a vulture who owns it or a granny who owns it. Empty house
no,
is empty house.
No, in fact, we put forward a motion in the Dáil on this, right, where we said that if a property was empty for more than 6 months, the local authority would have the power to contact the owner and find out, was there a legitimate or good reason for the place to be empty? And if there wasn't, would then seek to engage with the owner to see if they could get that back into use. Okay. And only in the last instance then use, if you like, coercive power to do it. Right. So it's not about willy-nilly going and taking people's houses.
Okay. Well, I would just say from the constitutional perspective, not every right is enshrined in the Constitution. For instance, the right to privacy is not in there. Loads of rights aren't. Equally, we speak about the importance of protection of people and the families. The as far as I know, the right to food is not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. So the whole idea is they go about it through a different method, which is where the state guarantees to protect the family, the importance of people. The mission statement was mentioned.
You're saying it's implicit in the Constitution already.
You can have what is like an unenumerated right, which is not subordinate to the explicit right. So what that means is that the implied rights are in no way lesser than the rights that are mentioned in particular.
But Richard is suggesting that if it was in the Constitution, that people then could be very proactive, go to the local authority or the state and say, it is my constitutional right to housing. It would be explicitly there rather than something that we might infer from the Constitution.
The housing acts already give you permission to seek housing from the local authority anyway. And I would also say that there are a host of...
Not to get.
Well, the thing is, I mean, to seek in anything, you can never be guaranteed this is yours, absolutely. I mean, you can seek a bed in a hospital and not get it the day that you want it, but you can have the right to seek it. What I want to say, though, is that there are things like the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which says everyone has a right to a certain standard of housing, clothing, etc. These are all ways that society is going, and I agree with. But if you're talking about housing people, the Constitution is not where it begins. And the only reason President Higgins would say something like that is because he's into all that stuff. But it doesn't put...
He also has a house provided by you and me.
That's a great one too. But it doesn't put one brick on top of another. So I want to talk about things that would actually make a difference. First of all, would be to raise property tax. We used to build a lot of social houses. And then in 1972, there was a property tax that was there to fund social housing, and we scrapped it. We should increase property tax and make social housing a social wide...
It was 1977. It was the...
Well, that was rates. There was a second one prior to that, which was gotten rid of. The 1977 got rid of all general property tax. But the thing is, at the moment, say, if you go to build a load of new houses, a certain number of them are given over to the state for social housing. That should end. Now, I'm not saying the state shouldn't get social housing or anything, but everybody should pay for it. All of society has a duty to protect one another, so all of society has to be involved. We should also look, if you want to talk about rights, do what the Germans did, a right to build. In Germany, if you own something, you're entitled to build on your property unless the law specifically forbids it. Now, that would open up a lot of land and a lot of opportunity for building and housing.
It'd be bungalow blight all over the country,
look,
wouldn't it?
Bungalow blight or homelessness, this is what the trade-offs are. You either have housing stock or you don't.
I mean, if you have little bungalows dotted all over the place, and then you've got to supply them with water, with power, with all the rest of it. They live in isolated areas, so you've got to bus kids to school.
Not always. I mean, that makes a load of assumptions. If you look at the rural area in Germany, they have massive amounts of construction, and it is actually fairly dispersed, and it's one of the most vibrant economic areas. The other thing you could do is end third-party property rights, the right to appeal things to On Board Planola after the local authority has said yes, the right to free judicial review, and end county council rights to a house for life when you get a county council or like a public sector lease, effectively, because the fact that we don't let people move through social housing means that you've got one person in a 3 or 4 bed, and at the same time you've got this mother with 4 kids and she's facing homelessness. We've got to work on what we have as well.
A lot of stuff that could be fixed without going to the Constitution. According to Carl, it's implied anyway that the state has an obligation to support families in everything they need, education, shelter and all the rest of it. But there's lots of stuff that you could be doing anyway.
Look, first of all, I don't think just changing the Constitution to insert the right of housing solves the problem, right? We need, most crucially, we need a massive programme of public housing on public land. As happened for most of the history of this state, we built council houses. That's crucially what we need. But where the issue of the right to housing comes in is, first of all, to put a legal pressure on the state to actually make provision to provide council housing, which it has failed to do for the last 20 years and has moved away from to a very substantial degree. But secondly, the point is, as referred to in the democratic programme that I mentioned, and this is, you see, in the Constitution, but De Valera rode back. De Valera's constitution rode back on the specific detail of the democratic programme. And put property rights ahead of the welfare of society as a whole. We want to shift that balance back.
Let's suppose it was in the Constitution. So what happens?
By the way, public good is still mentioned in property rights.
But the balance was shifted in De Valera's Constitution towards property rights. I agree with you. It is there. The common good is there.
I found myself homeless with my partner and our kids, and we have no place to go. So what do? We want to invoke the Constitution. We have to go to law. So what do? We get free legal aid to go to law, and we take on the County Council and demand our constitutional rights. Is that really a practical...
That's why I'm saying it has to be linked to the wider suite of measures, okay, which include for giving local authorities the power to get empty properties back into use, building council houses, preventing evictions into homelessness and so on.
So you win your case.
My point is, it's not primarily about the legal recourse, although people would have the right to pursue that if the state failed, you know, very obviously or deliberately to vindicate that right. But it would put a pressure on the state and on local authorities,
but there's always
to make
the law
provision for people
of unintended consequences. And here is one consequence which I think would ensue. So you go to Dunleary Rathdown Council and you say, I want my house. And they say, actually, we do have one. And it's in the far end of Carrick Mines, halfway up a mountain. And there's your house. And you say, no. And they say, well, our constitutional right is to offer you a house. Take it or leave it. In other words, anything you're offered under that constitutional provision, you would have to take.
Well, currently there's a scheme of letting priorities where people can make refusals if there's, if you like, a good reason for doing that. I mean, if you've got all
But that
your-
might go out the window. That's what I'm saying, is that if you're pushing someone to, you know, invoke their constitutional right to a house and they say, well, there is a house. It's not near your school. It's not near any shops or whatever. I know you don't have a car and there's no public transport on the road, but constitutionally, here's your house.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people face when they're not getting public housing, by the way. That's called real life. So, I mean, I don't think you could just narrow it down to being an issue that people in the public housing would be facing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the overriding imperative, Pat, is to make sure that the state recognises its obligation to provide secure, affordable housing for all of its citizens. Because what is absolutely clear, and I think Carl would probably agree with this, although we come at this from slightly different angles, the private market is simply not capable of providing secure, affordable housing for all of the people. It can provide it for some of the people, but there are huge numbers of people in our society who simply cannot access housing on the private market because of the high cost of rent or the high cost of property. So this is about putting a real compulsion on the state to get back to providing a big bank of public and affordable housing.
Just want
stock.
To, you know, stand back a little bit and look at the overall political situation. There's Owen Murphy, and he's characterised as this, that, and the other. But I don't think anyone would say that he's not working hard. Whether he's working at the right things is something I'm sure you'd quarrel with. But for Fine Gael and the others in government, they would love to solve this crisis, one imagines. I mean, what's in it for them electorally not to solve the crisis?
I think they do want to solve the crisis, and I think Owen Murphy probably is working hard, but he's caught in a bind between the two sort of imperatives of a Fine Gael government with its particular ideological leanings. I.e., yes, I want to solve the housing crisis, but on the other hand, we pursued a policy of NAMA flogging off huge amounts of land and property or loans associated with them to vulture funds to restore the balance sheets of the banks, because that was their priority. And that priority was greater than the priority to provide public housing. So at the same time as they pursued the policy of bailing out the banks, they stopped the provision of council housing and they outsourced it to the private sector. Yeah. And we are reaping the whirlwind of that. And even now, they find it difficult to break from that policy of outsourcing the provision of public housing to the private sector. And I think as long as they continue with that policy, we are facing an ongoing housing crisis.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, for instance, the thing about NAMA and it's difficult to articulate, but basically NAMA did sell off a lot of stuff, yes. But that did get built and somebody is living in it. Now, there might be empty ones as well, but for the most part, it's occupied by somebody somewhere. So that housing did come about. It just didn't become social housing. But we have massive issues within our social housing that we just refuse to acknowledge. So, for instance, we have places that are bang in the middle of the city centre. And from a housing density perspective, they can be quite high because the flats and the council flats are very, very small. We should knock them down, go up about 10 stories, provide more social housing in great locations with great amenities, with all the existing infrastructure.
Can I just say, yes, that's a great idea. At Dublin City Council, we did an item on the Lewis before it was complete. We walked around Dominic Street and so on, and there were empty apartments all boarded up because those flats were due to be knocked down.
The state still has
lots of
land.
And the ones on the other side were to be built up to a higher number of stories and so on. So all the people could move from left to right. And then they would still have spare capacity for more people. Then they would rebuild the ones on the left. And it has taken years.
Because, Pat, they pursued a model of public-private partnership, and the private developer they partnered with went bang in the crash. And that is the folly of these.
Well, the country went bang too, so it's not like if the country was doing it, we would have been able to.
Specifically, Carl, because of the activities of developers like that particular developer.
That's not entirely true, Richard.
It is entirely true.
The country spends more money than we could ever earn in taxation, and that was what's called a structural deficit. We had it before the developers went bang.
Carl, it was property that crashed not just this economy, but the global economy. Right, okay. That's a fact.
And so if we had some new model, if we had the Richard model,
loans,
none of this would have happened.
Kind of
I'll read you some of the comments because they're all quite interesting.
Don't rewrite history.
The landlord...
I don't need to. History does itself. Yeah.
The landlord has an extra right, the right to refuse purchase. I presume you're saying if you own a house and the state comes in and said, we'll have that, thank you very much. Landlord can say no.
Well, you can compulsory purchase.
What's next after this? You've extra money in the bank not being used, so bring in new laws to take it and give it to those in need. Another one, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, they have no intention of building affordable houses because of the banks. End of story. That's from Kevin. Hi Pat, my mother's house lies empty as she's in a nursing home, but Fair Deal won't let us rent. And that absolutely is well,
there
is
you go.
Crazy.
That's something to look at, isn't
yeah,
it?
No, we've talked about this on this programme, certainly more than a year ago, the idea that Fair Deal could be reformed.
It doesn't sound very fair to me.
if the person is willing
to
do
see,
it.
What I'm saying is it doesn't sound fair to call a scheme Fair Deal that gets you a nursing home, but then keeps a house unoccupied where another family can't use it.
Because once there's an income coming in and all
the
rest of it.
If the state are taking part of your house, why don't they let you to bring in part of the value of it too so that you can... contribute.
This proposal by Richard is perfect. I'll keep the 800 a month I'm paying Bank of Ireland for my mortgage and I'll rely on the government to house me. That's from Andy. That's the idea that if everyone has the right to this house provided by the state, why bother supporting yourself?
It might be interesting for that listener to know that in places like Austria, about 60 to 70% of the population live in publicly provided housing and they pay their rent according to their income. So the higher their income, the higher their rent. But the state provides most of the housing. So doctors, professionals, as well as, if you like, the people who are less well off, live
and
in the same
And the more you
housing.
Earn, the more you pay.
And the more
rent.
You
That's
earn,
the
more
That's
the
same way differential
pay.
Rents work, by the way, with councils.
But the differential rents here have a ceiling which is well below the market rent. And so people who live there and who have very good incomes are living basically subsidised by the rest.
I have a calculator. If you earn 100 grand and you had a Dublin City Council house, how much rent would you be paying a month?
Dublin City
on 100 grand income.
About
700.
700.
And so this is why people underoccupy homes because the differential rent is based on you, not on the house. Like in the private sector, no one goes and rents a 4-bed house on their own because you wouldn't be able to afford it. Happens all the time in council homes. And this is part of the issue as well. We underuse the housing we have. We protect certain people in tenancies they shouldn't be in while keeping other people homeless.
Well, there's a point about how many of the houses built, social houses in the last 40 years, were sold off to their occupants.
Yeah, a huge amount. And most of the people you're talking about, the idea there's loads of high earners living in council housing is just not true. Most of people whose income increased took the right which they were given to purchase their house. Now
up until the day they bought it, they couldn't afford higher rent, but then suddenly they could get a mortgage.
Do you believe it's appropriate that the state should sell off its assets on the cheap to third parties?
No, I don't.
Therefore, you don't believe in tenant purchase?
Certainly at the moment. I mean, I think there could be a case for it if every single house that is sold is replaced and that was a condition.
That didn't happen.
No, I know it didn't. And that was the mistake, right? So I think It is reasonable for the state to provide affordable housing, but it should always stay affordable. So there should be a requirement that you sell it back to the
council. One of
the
issues was when they were selling off these schemes, and I mean, it was a kind of a Thatcherite thing that caught on here, the idea that people have more of a sense of responsibility when they own their own property rather than rental. And it doesn't matter whether it's public rental or private rental. We all know about flats being trashed by students or whatever. They don't own them. They don't care. So the idea was, if you own your own hall door, you're going to maintain it, you're going to look after it, and you get a better mix, if you like, in a particular estate. But the problem was, the state sells them off for 40% of the value it's going to cost to replace them.
Yeah.
And where does that, how does that add
well,
up?
Well, what I think, and we have indeed have proposed in Dunleary Rat Down, that insofar as the council provides affordable purchase housing, that the owner of that should be required, if they ever sell, to sell it back to the council and not it'd be able to profit, if you like, from it. They should, of course, get the inflation.
But then they'd
the inflation
never sell,
then.
Would they? Stay
fine.
Put.
Well, fine. They never sell.
The thing is, it should never be the job of the state to create state housing, give it to people on the basis that they can't afford housing, so that's how they qualify for it, and then not charge them higher rents, which is the issue at the moment. Council housing is too cheap. It's oversubsidized. And so you've got people in them saying, oh, we can't afford higher rents, but then magically they can take out a mortgage and buy the thing and accrue this massive wealth. And by not paying the higher rents during the years that they stay there, that's how they accrue the discount. Buy it at market price or don't buy it at all.
A lot of the sob stories, so-called, that we hear are about single mothers. And Mary wants to know, where are the fathers of these children?
Totally.
No one ever
Mary.
Wants to talk
no
about
one
this.
No one ever talks about
being responsible for your own actions. It seems that's not relevant in Ireland. Why on earth would anyone with an empty property want to rent it out? The tales of woe from landlords who can't get rid of problem tenants, having most of their money taken in taxes. The government should give up their stupid idealism about mixed tenure and just build loads of council estates again, and the problem would be solved. That man is a clown. That's you, Richard. You won't be surprised to know. He wants half of society to work themselves to the bone to pay more property tax. Oh, that's you, Carl. Property tax.
Me, yeah.
There's
yeah,
two clowns.
I've always been a clown. Richard's only
the previous texter was agreeing with me. Build council houses.
The man is a clown, so he wants half of society to work themselves to the bone to pay more property tax to provide for the lazy brigade. Only communist dictatorships promise everything as a right except the basic freedoms, which they, of course, deny.
I doubt if that listener thinks Austria, for example, or Germany, or many of the Scandinavian countries that provide social housing on a very, very wide basis are communist dictatorships.
Historically, they weren't communist. They were more fascist. That was their thing.
Yeah, but there is a thing, isn't there, in the Irish psyche about landlordism. You know, in Germany, you mentioned Germany, you mentioned Austria. A lot of the time, your landlord would be a pension fund. And it might be a pension fund that you yourself or your brother or your uncle or your aunt is actually benefiting from. The whole idea of the dirty money-making landlord is not in their psyche in the way it tends to be in ours.
Yeah, and that's an irony. I mean, in Cherrywood at the moment, for example, a Dutch pension fund has now just bought up a lot of the town centre. And I just think, why aren't Irish pensions invested in that? Why isn't the state invested in that? Why is a Dutch pension fund
I'm sure there was
going
an
to generate
the
revenue?
Like, I mean, nothing to stop them going along to Hines and say, like some of the action.
No, it's not true, you see, Pat. For example, the credit unions, as long as I've been in the Dáil, the credit unions have been saying, we have 5 or 6 billion euro, we're willing to invest in public housing, but the state essentially won't facilitate
them. I have some great news for you, Richard. I actually, together with an architect named Claire McManus, put a proposal to Dublin City Council for something exactly like that, where a pension fund would come in and take over a site that has been vacant in Dublin for nearly 50 years. We met the head architect of Dublin City Council. We had the financial plans, the backers, everything that you're required, and we were told you can't do it. So, like, when we talk about why don't we, the issue is actually so much of the system. I would also say, by the way, to the person who referred to me as a clown, I'm a little bit offended because I have friends who are clowns and they would never have anything to do with me. But when I say about people paying more property tax, I'm not talking about only people with private houses. I'm saying everybody. At the moment, if you're in a council house, you don't pay property tax.
That won't fly, Carl.
Everyone
seriously.
Should. Well, look.
Yeah, but why shouldn't it fly?
Well, you're
in
all
every
about taxes and services.
Socialists
I'm agreeing
are involved
with you.
In.
No, I'm not.
Everyone
but income
pays
is a completely
tax.
Dirty
and
immoral
water tax,
tax.
By the way, Richard,
property
well.
Tax gets right charges. To wealth. It's right where you should be.
I'm afraid I'm listening to Carl and you at the same time.
But Richard, join me just for a second.
No.
Property tax gets right to the heart of wealth. That's where it should be. You know that.
Carl, property property tax is unfair and regressive on huge numbers of people. And by the way, when the government brought in property tax, the current property tax, they said it was going to dampen the housing market. Well, that didn't work, did it? Right, the property market's gone out of control.
I'll conclude by reading a couple of things. A tweet. Inserting a right to housing in the Constitution would not cancel the right to own property. It would just mean courts would undertake a balancing act when considering cases. So it wouldn't mean an automatic state right to acquire empty property. So that's probably a balanced comment.
Courts with all this excess capacity to deal with more cases.
There's a big problem here with people having loads of children and not being able to provide for those children. This has to stop. I've had to pay my way all through my life, and this guy wants me to up my taxes to provide for irresponsible people. He's having a laugh. Richard Boyd Barrett's example of a woman who can't get housing in Dunleary literally has nowhere to go. How about outside Dunleary? I can't get a house in Dunleary either. A bit of realism is required. Give, give, give equals take, take, take. That point, Richard, so many people who've grown up in the borough that you and I know well, their children cannot afford to live in the borough. That's just a fact of life. So, they're living in Westmeath at the moment.
And I am stubbornly, as are many people in Dunleary, stubbornly resisting the gentrification of Dunleary. And for that matter, people are doing the same in the city centre. It is wrong that people on low and middle incomes will be driven out of areas where their families have lived for many generations. It's not right. Why should Dunleary only be a place where rich people can live?
It's true for people who let's take Stillorgan.
I'd say the same about Stillorgan.
You know, the whole city has actually pushed the next generation of kids out into the boondocks, into the sticks, because of the unaffordability of
exactly.
Double
Exactly. As a North Sider, I'm loving this conversation. Listening to two South Siders decrying high property prices in their area. Let me tell you something. Go to build something big in South Dublin. Pick a place, do whatever, see how many people object to it, see how many people put it into an appeal. And this is what the thing that blows me away is that everyone, and I find it particularly endemic in South Dublin, they have this internal paradox in their mind where they want their kids to be able to live next to them. They want people who are on low incomes to be able to afford the area. But damned if they're going to let something of any significant scope be developed in their backyard.
Are you talking about me and my particular problem?
I'm just saying it's endemic in South Dublin. Go to do anything. Richard will tell you about Bullock Harbour. You know, he's heading up a society to stop that from going ahead. You've got guys
doing
it
everywhere.
But
there is an irony. Can I just say this without commenting directly on my thing?
Hold on.
There is an irony of someone who was involved in owing huge amounts of money to NAM and so on, Richard Barrett, heading up a property company called
Bartra. That's not me, by the way. Just stress.
You've got a Boyd in there to protect you. But there's a huge irony about guys coming in and trying to do things that might be seen as deleterious, having already gone wallop and left
people before profit objected to student housing in Dublin 8 recently. Again, that's housing. This is the kind of thing I'm saying.
Now you've lashed out all the allegations. Let me come back on them, right?
Yeah,
okay,
do that.
Right. First of all, even the USI are saying that the private student accommodation that is shooting up all over the place is completely unaffordable. They're saying it's no use to them whatsoever.
Okay? If it's unaffordable, no one will rent it.
You ranted all your allegations. I'm going to respond now, okay? So we're opposed to student accommodation that is unaffordable, okay? We want capital grants to be given to universities to build on-campus student accommodation. And that's what the Union of Students in Ireland want as well. That's the first point. Secondly, on Bullock, okay? Yes, do we think Richard Barrett building exclusive apartments that only millionaires could afford on what is a public amenity site and where they will be flooded in any event is a good use of Bullock Harbour? No, we do not. But nobody has objected to Cherrywood, by the way, right? And
Strategic development zone. You can't really object to.
But nobody has because people want the housing.
It took 12 years to get started, Richard. That's the point.
We're campaigning for the housing.
It took 12 years to get started.
Yes, because
so that's the speed of your political process.
Because it was sold to NAMA.
You're so happy about
it. Sold by NAMA.
So
proud of it.
Draw this to a close. NAMA having their own difficulties with the O'Flynn brothers as well, but that's a different story entirely. My thanks to Richard Boyd Barrett and to Carl Dieter for coming in and entertaining us for the last half an hour.